that is your prayer, you need him right now, the sooner the better, right? He don't make you wait. And if he do, because his plan is perfect and you need to wait. But nevertheless, he always come in the scene in the perfect times. Do you believe that? Amen. God is good. Thank you, musicians. I can hear myself now. This morning I could not hear myself. Do you hear me okay this morning? Yeah, now I can hear from both sides. Stereo. Amen. Man, I didn't know you sing that good. I don't think I have never seen you. Have you ever seen singing? Okay, half and half. Man, we can close the service and go home. Yeah, good luck with that. Man, you got years to serve the Lord. Serve him well. For whatever gift God has given you, serve him. Because he called you with a purpose. God don't do something just to do things. He has a purpose. Let us pray. Father, we come back again for another round, Father. And we are praying that your presence, Father, your glorious presence, Father, be with us and this worship, singing and praising you. It is pleasing to your ears, Father, because we want to please you tonight. So we ask you, Father, just to come and have your way, take over. Father, I promise that if you come and use me, I will step outside, Father, and let you have your way. Father, thank you for those that came back. And for those that didn't, wherever they are, in the streaming, or maybe they had to work, I don't know. Just bless them, wherever they are, Father. Amen. And if they sick, Father, we ask you to just extend your hand of mercy and grace and love and touch them, Father. And lift them up, raise them up, Father, from any bed of affliction, or any sickness, they call you family. It doesn't matter, Father. We're trusting in you tonight. We know that you care. And we thank you for caring for your children tonight. We love you and we ask you now to take control from the pulpit to the back door. And Father, have your way tonight. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Let us then proceed with part two. Part two, it was about, I was wanted to talk about the process, because it's a process, it's not an event. So, and the process is not difficult. I mean, we make it difficult sometimes, but it's not. So Romans chapter 8 says, and we know that all things, not just some things, all things. I don't care what it is, it's just all things. Work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. So God called you, so he must have a purpose. And if we fulfill that purpose, that we will fulfill that purpose, because we're going to yield to God, then it doesn't matter what happened. It will work out. Yes. Amen. Period. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's his purpose. Amen. That we conform to that image. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, conform to an image, we're not talking about a picture, you know. It is actually more than that. And moreover, whom he did predestine, then he called. And whom he called, he justified. So if he called me, I'm justified. As I never did it, period. You know, nobody can accuse. In whom he justified, he also what? Glorified. And that's what we're talking about. So we are on our way to a body change, to a glorified body. And nothing is going to stop this. God cannot lie. And when God speaks, it has to happen. Period. So let us take our seats. And thank you again. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Last night I woke up about, well, the devil woke me up about 2 in the morning. So it is not a thing that is first time. He always do that. Because, you know, he knows. He's a good adversary. But I put him in his place and I went back to sleep anyway. After a little while, of course. But he don't want this truth to go forward. You know? So I give him an A for effort, you know? Because he's persistent. So, but we have something that is greater than him, stronger. He can bluff all he wants to. But our hands is in God. He cannot plug us away from God. He cannot just separate us from the love of God, as our brother was talking about, praying. So we are in good hands. And this is not an insurance company. We are in good hands. As long as we stay in there, right? We are going to be okay. Amen. Romans 9, I want to read. Here, before I read then, let me make a little comment in this verse that it says, to whom he foreknown, not foreknew, it is, that word means to know in advance. See, he knew us before the foundation. That's what the Bible says. Some came to him one day and said, we preached the gospel. We did these miracles. But he said, but I didn't know you. I don't know who you are, see. But we are foreknown. He knew us in advance, before the foundation of the world. And he predestined us for that reason. So also, to be conformed to that image. That is the purpose he calls us. He has a purpose for each one of us. And to be conformed is that word, you know, it's not like the word transform. But to be conformed, he said, is like, I wrote some words over here, is to guide us. To be conformed, it means to follow, to obey, to be in harmony, to yield, to surrender to God. Because before we can be transformed, we have to decide to make a choice to follow him. And how do we conform to his image? Now his image is who he is, his characteristics, his traits, you know, his attributes, everything that he is, we need to conform to that. So we become like a picture, like an image of what he is. In the way he acts, in the way he talks, in the way he moves, see, in his actions, we become Christ again in flesh. So conforming is a word that only can happen if you have the mind of God. Because our mind cannot conform. That's why we got in trouble to begin with. I couldn't conform at school. I couldn't conform in the army. I couldn't conform here. I didn't like this. I didn't like that. And we cannot conform to the system or whatever. But in order for us to be transformed, we had to first conform. We had to be guided. And the image, they conform to that image. The image that comes to my mind when I keep saying image is the image when the dove came down on the lamb in the day of his baptism. And that is the picture that Christ, the Lamb of God, was guided by the Holy Spirit. That's what that white dove means. So, and that's the same thing with you and I. We need to be guided. See, we need to follow. We need to obey. And that's what that picture that is burning my mind about that dove coming down. that he was obedient all the way to the leading of God, the Holy Spirit in his life. So, first we need to conform, see? To conform, we have to have his mind, his leadership, his guidance in our life. And then we have to say yes. Yes to your word. Yes to everything. Because then there's no sense to transform you if we're not going to conform to his word. Because God only is respectful of his word. See? Not nothing else. So if we have faith and we believe, God surely respects his word and he will bring it to pass. But it has to be that kind of an attitude. And like I said, people have some excuses. Sometimes they don't want to conform. They have their ideas and their thought. But I want to just have one idea. I want his idea in whatever matter we're talking about. Because we all have opinions. So it says to conform to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, he says, who called he justified, then he glorified. So, he knew us beforehand, before the foundation of the world. Now, Romans chapter 9, he says, and that he might make known the riches of his glories. I mean, I like treasures, and I like riches. I mean, you know, he says the riches. So there's a hidden treasure somewhere. He said, a riches of his glory in advance of our mercy, which he has afore prepared unto glory. So there's a hidden treasure somewhere. Right. See? Of his glory. And he put it in vessels of dirt. Yes. You and I, we are vessels. And God created vessels for good and bad and evil. So, but in this is where the secret, where the mystery, Paul says, is hidden. And it's not in plain view. Only you or me, the one that we have received this blessing, we know about it. See? So he says, even us whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. And he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people. And her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the children of the living God. Amen. So that was God wanted all the time, family. He wanted to have children. He wanted to be a God of his children. So he will fulfill his desire. Amen. All this is for his glory and honor. Everything. Everything that we see, this world, is everything that he created is for his own glory. But he likes to share that glory. I know we heard that God don't share his glory. We're going to find out that he do with you and me because the glory is in us. Now, yeah, he don't share the glory like, we do something and we want to take, like I did that, I'm not talking about that kind of glory, We know that everything that God do in us is him doing it through us. And he gets glory for that. We don't. And I'm glad that he gets glory because if I do it, I mess it up. See? So, here Paul is talking in Romans about that divine mercy, That he, before the foundation of the world, he chose us. And he arranged everything, our salvation, When we were sinners, everything was taken care of. And then after that, he ordered all our steps. I mean, we cannot lose if we want to. Because he's already been predestined from beginning to end. All your steps are predestined perfectly. See, predestined us to be conformed. That is already done. All you have to do is let go and let God do with his job. He knows what he's doing. Amen. All we have to do is just let go and conform to that image. See, we looked at that image and said, that is what I want. That is what I desire. See, I want Jesus. ¿Sí? So first, you have to want to be that before God can even. Why? Because you have a choice. Amen. God will not take your choice. God will not force you into it. He wants you to do it willingly because you love Him. So He gave you a choice. And that's what I said this morning, you know. We made a mistake because we made the wrong choice. You know. Predestined us to conform to that image of His Son. A final what? Glory. When it gets done and it's over, then that final glory that was in Jesus, it will be on us too. We'll be glorified bodies. We'll be changed bodies. And He set up all these successive steps, you know, by step. He already predestinated the steps, our steps in this life towards that glorification, towards to be changed. So all we have to do is not worry how, when and where, but let's do our part and choose. Lord, that's what I want. So what I need to do? Come to church. I don't care what I need to do, but I choose that. Amen. I choose to be changed. Amen. It is your, you see, you think God is going to make, it is your choice. Amen. And your choice, and that choice also, you know, you can see what that choice will produce. See? Because if it's not a desired choice, it is like, if I do, I do, if I don't, I don't, if I pray, I pray, if I don't, I don't, if I read my Bible, I don't, if I go to jail. I mean, that choice is not going to get too far. But it's still your choice. God will not take your choice away. So, but I choose today to serve the Lord. That is my desire. That's my choice. See, 2 Corinthians 3:18 said, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of our Lord, we are changed into the same image. See, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Yes, amen. So this is what we talked about this morning, that we are changed. Right now, we know in part. See, the Bible said. You know, the Bible, you know, we read the Bible, we come to church, and we get a little glimpse of God. And the more we learn about God, the more you learn about yourself. But it's not all there. I mean, the whole picture is not yet. But it will come together at the end. See? But right now, we a little piece here, a little statue here, a little word here, a little precept here, a little this here, until, you know, so you know, the more closer we get to that end, you start seeing the entire picture. See? And that's what I'm saying. It is a process. It's not like in that day, whoop, you're done and we change and let's go. No. We are working towards that. And you know that you're working toward that. But you also know that He will start the work, He will finish it. All we need is surrender our life and let Him do His work. But changing us from glory to glory. What glory? Well, a little bit more glory today. We come to church and a little bit more glory, you know, a bit more brightness, a little bit more light, a little bit more closer. You know, it is not something that He's going to just give you in a moment. But it takes time. And it's a process. And that's where some people get tired. Some people kind of get sidetracked, you know. And in their sons and daughters of God, they will come. Yes, I don't know how, but God knows that. And I'm glad that God knows. Because sometimes we get sidetracked and the devil kind of detour us with other things, you know. Even though when we chose and we want to. But sometimes we make different choices. So with open face, over here, say, one of these say we will see with open face. That is the meaning, as I talked to you this morning, God was veiled at one point. See, He was veiled on Moses. Moses was a veil. Nobody could see God, but God was with Moses. And the prophets. He was veiled on the prophets, and He was veiled in many other situations. But nobody could see God. But then He even was veiled in Jesus Christ. That was His veil. So you cannot actually see God, but you could see what God was doing through people and things. So in Colossians, it says, got no water over here. Oh, here you go. He says, therefore, I am made minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Not only to him to fulfill his word, but to fulfill the word in you. That's what ministers. I'm glad he used the word minister and not apostle or not a, you know, prophet. But he himself is part of the ministry. He was an apostle. So that include any minister, the fivefold, you know, ministry. So, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me. What is the dispensation? That word dispensation, the first time I heard that word and I was when you go to the doctor and they give you I call it a recipe, but it's not, it's a prescription. Yeah, my wife laughs every time I said, I have it backwards. When I go to the kitchen, I'm going to do a prescription. No. A recipe. But when you go and you get a prescription from the Lord, you go to the dispensary. That's what that word means. You go to the pharmacy and they will dispense you the medicine. Okay? So you have a need, it says, and, you know, that will be dispensed to you, whatever the door order. So the same thing, the pulpit, we are dispensing to you the word of God, because the word of God will meet every need that you have. We don't know your needs, but you come to church and you seek God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and you have faith, and that pulpit will, right there, the prescription goes up, and then, you know. And we don't know what you're going through. We don't know what happened in your life. I don't have no time to be walking, you know, and visiting every house and seeing everybody. I mean, I hardly have time for myself. So if God speaks to you from the pulpit, it's because the word of God, you know, it receives a prescription, said, I need you to write this for so and so. And then it comes out and, you know, that's God. Because through the ministry, we dispense to you what you have need for. So if that is the case, what happened with the people that don't come to church? I mean, if they're sick, they're sick. If they're out of town, I'm not talking about those situations. But this is God's program to dispense the word to you. There's no other plan. This is his plan. And Paul says, you know, I am, you know, a minister that dispensed to you. He was in a new dispensation, you know. So the same thing all the way to Brother Branham, you know. There have been God, men that God has used to what? To dispense his word to us. So that means that we need one another. You cannot do, I mean, it's good to listen to tapes, read your Bible, read the books at home, but that is not the dispensation. You have a need. You know, God will provide that need somehow through somebody. Amen. But church, if you have a need, church is the place to be. Because you just ask God and somebody will write a prescription for you. This is what, and I didn't know you needed that. But, I mean, I'm oblivious to myself. What, I don't even know what I have need. But God will take care of me, right? And in Spanish, there's a word that I use, that the medicine that I need is Cristomicina. Cristomicina, Cristo medicine. So that's what we need. You know, we need him. And that he will take out the rest. So, you know, it's just like Brother Brown said, we need an inoculation, see? Write a prescription, we need the Holy Ghost. He said, you know, come to church, we give it to you. All we have to do is just write that thing and bring it to me. Just let God know the desire of your heart, the true desire of your heart. And through the ministry, that will be dispensed to you. Amen. That's what I like to come to church, because I cannot do that at home. God did not set it up that way. If I could lay hands on myself and get well, I will. I need you to lay hands on me. God made it that way. And we cannot change that. Yes, you can pray for God to heal you. You can do whatever. But that's not how he did it. He said, go to the elders and let them what? Anoint you with oil and let them pray for you. And the prayer of faith will what? Save you and forgive your sins. So God has a way that he already has set up for us. But we need one another. And that's the pulpit is the way that God designed to dispense his word. So if you're going to grow, you know, from glory to glory to glory, how are you going to do it if you don't come to church? Well, some people might believe that. And some people might not believe that. But I believe it. Because I've seen how much I had grown in the past years. And this is not something that happened at home. You know what happened at home? Well, we humans, you know, we're weak. You know, so we sit down to read the Bible at night before we go to bed and we go to sleep. Oh, how can you get any dispensation like that? You know, or we're tired, or something happened, or the baby cry, or, you know, you come to church and you already set up this amount of time that you dedicated not to me, not to anybody, not to the church, to the Lord. You said, Lord, I'm going to make an effort. I'm going to block this. I don't care. Let the beans burn. Let you know, if my family got together on Sundays, fine. I choose to come to church and just give you this time. And Father, do whatever you want. And if you don't, it's fine. But I'm going to continue. Just because I didn't get it the first time, that don't mean that I decide to quit. So he says, a minister of a new dispensation. And I like that. So also he's saying over here in 26, even the mystery, okay, which has been hid from ages and from generation, but now is being manifest to the same. What mystery is that? Well, he's going to tell me in the next one. To whom God who make known what is the riches or the glory of these mysteries among Gentiles. So if I'm going to write you a prescription, you know, for the glory of God, for the dispensation, this dispensation, you know, that's the only way you will know this mystery. Okay? Because if everybody could get it on their own, then they don't need to come to church. Right? But the reason we come is because there are certain things that only you can get through the ministry. It is not that we're trying to control you or keep you, or when you don't come, you don't get this. This is not what I'm talking about. It has to do with attitudes. You know? How much do you want it? I mean, how much do you want a change of a body? I'm tired of this body already. Of course, I'm far, far alone than you guys. And I hope you don't get old. Then you don't have to find out what I'm going through. Or, better than that, let the Lord come tomorrow and then we're all done. Finish. So it is a mystery. He said, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generation, but now it's manifest in the saints. So now that mystery has taken, is hidden in another place. See? To whom God who made known what is the riches of the glory of that mystery. So in that mystery, there's riches of his glory. So we figure out the mystery, it says, among the Gentiles, which is, well, he's going to tell me anyway, it's not going to be a mystery anymore. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glorification. See? But you still have to be fed. You still have to be given the right food in good season, in good time. But Christ in you is the hope of glory. See? So we begin, that's, and that is the mystery that today You know, John says the same thing. He says, in those days, you know, if you don't believe that Christ came in flesh, well, he wasn't talking that Christ came in in flesh. He did come in flesh. And they saw him, they talked to him. It's registered in history. It was a Christ. But that's not why he was talking so much about, even though it is true. God came in flesh. Now, but Jesus came in flesh, in your flesh, my flesh, in that flesh. He said, if you don't believe that, then you are not one of us. Because Christ came in flesh. He says, the hope of glory, see? So, if that is the case, then according to Paul, believers has to reflect the same image that is inside you. I don't want to reflect myself, but I want to reflect him in me. And I can because he is in me. If I give up my thoughts, my idea, if I give up everything and I say, Lord, you take over, then I want you to be that image that everybody see in me. I don't want people to see me. I'm disappointed. I'm boring guy. I'm weak. But we have the choice to let go and let God reflect himself to us because he's there. There's no excuse. So the only person that will stop that is you or me in the way we think. When you have connection, relationship with people, you know, when you are there in the world, when you're there with a school, a work, you must reflect, you know, that is inside you. See? Like I said this morning, revelation will produce reflection. Because you have to have a revelation of that. See? Because Christ, believers reflecting the same image, and that is the proof of the truth of Christianity. If you tell me you are a Christian, I say, okay, good. Where's the proof? Let me see Christ in you. Well, I've been in this message 40 years, but I don't want to see how many times you've been in them. I want to know if Christ is in you. Well, I know this message up and down, and I've been 80 years, but this message in you is what I'm interested in. See? I don't want to hear him. I want to see Christ again in flesh. You know? So the proof of Christianity is a lie, live, that everybody can see Jesus in our lives. Well, they're not going to see Jesus, but they're going to see what Jesus did, we are going to do also. You know, the way we treat people, the way we are kind, sweet to people, the way we handle situations. I know we make mistakes, I know. But for most part, we want to treat people the way we like to be treated. Amen? And the way I like to be treated is the way God treats me. So don't you want to treat people the same way God treats you? And that's a revelation. See? So believers are reflecting the same Christ today. And the proof is that God is in you, then God should be reflecting his life. Not your life, but his life through us. And that is the proof of a true Christian. We have many denominations, and I'm not here to criticize. It's just the fact is that they have their own doctrines and their own thoughts and ideas and dogmas. But have you seen the reflection of Christ through them? Because that is what everything boils down to. You know, I don't care what church you go, I just want to know, is Christ is in you? 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see in the mirror dimly, see? That's the Bible. The Bible is a mirror. So, but, of course, we see in part little things here and there, and revelation here and there. We come to church and here. We just don't get the whole, we don't see the whole entire thing from Genesis to Revelation, but in parts. Little bit here, little bit here, little bit there. You know, a food in due season. And, oh, wow, I got it. But then, one of these days, it will be face to face. Not in part. Right now, everything is in parts. Okay? Nobody had the whole thing figured out. But we are working in parts until we get the whole. Right. Because that is our goal. From glory, a little piece here, another part here, and here, and here, and we move until what? We come face to face with the whole thing. One of these days it will happen. You're going to be changed. And you're going to be in the presence. And you're going to see how you were known, how you were made. And after you see that, the whole completion, then you will understand why you was made that way. Now you understand why we are conforming to Jesus Christ, because that is the standard, that's the glory, that's the image. He says, now I know in part, then I shall know fully well in that day, when we are done, when we are here. See? Even as I have been fully known from before the beginning, the way I was foreknown, that is the way. That's what Jesus says, glorify me with the glory that we have before. You and I too, we want to say we're going to see the glory that we have with him before the foundation of the world, when all this come together and we done completely. But it's a process. It's a choice. Sometimes we have to sacrifice, but we get to that in a minute. And this is a blessing that God has bestowed on the Gentiles. That's what I said. We are blessed people. Can you even fathom in your mind that God is God, what Jesus Christ is in you, and you're walking with God in you? I mean, we talk about it, but it really hasn't hit you. Because if it hits you, you'll be a different person in the way you treat other people, in the way you do things. Because now you are aware that, hey, it's not me. It is God in me. That guide me, that lead me, that show and do all these things. But see, we still kind of not mature enough to understand what is this mean? What is this mystery? What is God in me? But one of these days, we're going to wake up. See? And I hope we wake up sooner than later. Okay? So it's a blessing that Christ bestowed by God in the Gentiles. Now, Colossians 2:3 says, in Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of his wisdom and what? And knowledge. So everything that we have need is there. Everything, all that we need, it is in there. The treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Remember, I guess I continue just emphasizing in this. You know, it is up to us how far we want to go. Sometimes we feel comfortable, I'm comfortable here, like it here. Sometimes we don't want to take another step until whatever. Sometimes we just stop for whatever reason. But we know that we need to pursue this treasure. Let me tell you about the treasure story. Remember that guy in the gospel that he found a pearl? And then he found the pearl, and then he decided that he hid it in the field, you know. So, and then he went back, and he didn't tell anybody, you know. Like when you find a mine, you're supposed to go to the car, and you're supposed to register that it's your mine, or blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, I like to buy that piece of land, because in case it was the government land, see, he didn't want to tell it why. But I just like to have that piece of land. So he went and purchased. And then he went back, see? And then in the purchasing procedures, he said he gave everything he had. It doesn't matter how much was the cost. He gave everything because he wanted that treasure. See? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ Jesus, they are in us. How much are we willing to pay? Not talking to pay this, but how much we want to pay attention. How much we want to, with our life, desire something that we give everything that we have for, to pursue, to get the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How much is it worth to you? Well, to this guy, it was all his life and all his money and everything he had to purchase that treasure. So there's a treasure in you. How much are you willing to pay for that? You don't have to wait for me. You don't have to wait for the pastor. You don't have to wait for anybody. How much are you willing to pay for what is in you right now. Oh, I want some more wisdom. I want some more knowledge. I want more of Him. How much are you willing to pay for it? Will you give your life for it? And everything that you own? Your friends? Whatever make you happy? Your football? I don't know what make you happy. I don't know what your thing is. I know what my thing is. You know? Are we willing to give our life? Because if we're not willing to die, you know, we won't be worthy of this couple. I mean, I'm talking of dying physically, to die to ourselves, to the flesh. See, this flesh like certain things, you know. And sometimes we like to cater to this little flesh. And that is our worst enemy right here. Because this is the enemy you have to overcome. Not me. It's not the pulpit. It's not nobody else. Not your wife. You need to overcome yourself. So one of these days you're going to have to decide. Okay? Either you go or I go. But we are not going to cohabitate anymore. Because I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. Whatever the cost. How much are you willing to pay? Your life? He did His for you. So all we have to do is surrender our life completely to Him. Oh, but this, and we make excuses. Ephesians 3:8 says, unto me, who am less than the least of the saints. This is Paul, because Paul wasn't alive when Jesus Christ was going around. He wasn't an apostle. I mean, he wasn't part of the 12. But God chose him to be the replacement of Judah. See, they chose somebody else, the disciple, but God chose him. But he says, I am the least. See, I wasn't there present. I didn't follow Jesus. I didn't do all these things you guys did. But he said, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Amen. Unsearchable. How can you begin searching for the unsearchable? Well, you can. But that what is in you, you have it all there. See? You have it all there. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Amen. Again, it's a treasure hidden in you. So how much are we willing to give for that treasure? The glory of this mystery that we're talking about was hidden one time. But now it's revealed. We know the mystery. It's in the Gentile. The Gentile are partakers of the mystery that was hidden before the foundation of the world. So I'm glad God sent a prophet. And he says in the day, you know, Revelation 10:7, in that day when that message will start coming forward sounding, the mystery of God, what mystery? Christ in you. The hope of glorification. This is where we are right now. We're almost at the end. But finally, even the dead will rise. We are not too far. My wife was reading. I don't read. My wife is a reader. I wish I, but I don't read newspapers. I don't read magazines. Never did. My father did every afternoon. He buys the paper, come home, have dinner. My mom, she read books, glory. She get home to a book. I don't like to read. I don't know. So, but my wife likes to read the paper. I used to buy the Sunday paper a long time ago because I don't read it. I just look at the cartoons and the, you know. And she reads everything else, you know. But I like to read non-fiction. You know, things that I will like. I'm like, being an engineer, I like mechanical things. You know, books that are, you know, instruction how to do this. I like that. But just to read for fun. So, we were talking about the hidden and revealed mystery. So, I don't even know what I was telling you this, but ahorita will come. The glory is mystery. It says, hidden, and now it's revealed to make you Gentiles partakers, you know, mainly when Christ shall come, you are partakers of this blessing. Amen. This mystery. Now, let's go. The process is simple. God is not a God is simplicity. God is not complicated at all. In fact, we make things complicated. But God is not complicated. In Romans 8:10, it says, if Christ be in you, if Christ be in you, by his indwelling of his spirit, through your bodies, had to pass through the stages of death in consequence of the first Adam's sin. Your spirit is instinct with new and underlying life. It says, brought in by the righteousness of the second Adam. So this body has to die because what Adam did. But we are alive in the other body, in the real me. I'm alive because of the second Adam. Amen? And that is what salvation is all about. And that is the first step in this process. We cannot do it. We have to be changed. First, have salvation. That is the first step of everything. You know, because in this body, it's impossible. It is impossible. Don't even try it. I tried it many times and I got in more trouble for trying. You know, because I couldn't make it happen. I don't have the power to change anything. See? Nobody has the power to change anything. So, he says that the first step is salvation. First, we have to be saved. We have to get rid of this body of sin. Because we are dragging this guy. This guy is nothing but trouble. Then after we do that, you know, we have something else that will replace this thing that will then become what you wanted to become, what God wanted to become, to the spirit of God in you, in your body. And then the second one is justification. It says, Romans 12:1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, with his your spiritual worship. Now, I understand everything that we do is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to come to church. It was for me this morning. You know, hardly got no sleep. I'm tired. I had to get out of bed. You know? But I'm going to church. So I had to make a sacrifice. I don't care how tired I am. And I don't care if I'm hungry or whatever, if I'm sick. If I can walk and get up, I have to make a... I don't understand. It's not something that, hallelujah, man, got up in the morning and came to church. It's a sacrifice. To get up and feed the kids, you know, the children, and then dress the husband. I think it's the other way around. Yeah, you know. And then one spilled the cereal on the other one after he was nicely dressed, you know. You have to really, it's a sacrifice. Now, if you're not married, fine. You probably have to deal with yourself. And if you don't have nobody to blame but yourself, see? So, we have to make a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. You know, we already been dead in sin. And since we are alive now, then we are making a life sacrifice. When we come to church, it should not be dead sacrifices. We're going to offer a life. You're supposed to be alive and well to offer the sacrifices. I don't care. I didn't sleep. I'm tired. Make a sacrifice. You know what I do? I know sometimes I don't fall asleep completely, but you know, I feel myself. So I figured out what was the problem. And the problem is that if I don't engage all my body into what I'm doing, then I go to sleep. Because my mind is going, listening in my ears, but the rest of the body is just... And then you get in a comatose. I'm awake. It's your wife. I know, Oscar. Anyway... I see a lot of things from here. I'm sorry. I shouldn't call anybody. Sorry, brother. But that happens to me too. So this is what I figured out. I said, I know what I need to do. I need to engage my whole body into the service. Yes. So I got me a notebook, and I got 3 or 4 pencils. And I sit down over there, I open my book, and then now I'm not only listening, but I'm seeing quotes, I'm seeing and hearing, and then I'm writing. Now I'm seeing too. So what? Now I don't go to sleep. Why? As long as I'm engaged fully into the service. See, but if I let these guys, you know, down for me, not if I start writing for me, not, you know, forget it's trouble. And I tell the young people one time when I was giving Sunday school, you need to engage completely your body. And if you can, get a notebook, engage your hands, engage your eyes, engage your ear, your thought, everything. And you know what? I tell you, it works. You will not go to sleep. Because now your body is what? Active. Okay? That's what happened to me when I'm driving. I only, you know. Because you're not engaged. I got a car that do everything. I got a car that tell me when to drink the coffee. Yeah. It says over there in the, I think it's time for a break, and they put a coffee cup. Because I'm kind of... Yeah, it talked to me. Before, my wife used to be the one that keep me straight in the car and talked to me. Hey, you're going over 54. Hey, you're going to sleep. No, I'm okay. But now I got 2 wives. It's a Siri in the car and my wife. I got a car that has AI and is smart enough to talk to me and tell me. It's time for a break. Just because I just kind of wobble a little bit in the street. And then, you know, forget it. Everything is sensors in that new car. I haven't bought a car for 10 years. So car has changed in the past, even the price has changed. Anyway. And that's my problem, you know. I take cars and I take care of my car. They last me at least 10 years. In the last car that I drove before I bought the new one, I got 200,000 miles. I mean, it's good if you can get it to 250. But after that, I don't guarantee nothing else. But this is how I take care of my cars. Yes, I had to change a few things, alternators, you know, you change all. You had to, because that's not going to last you forever. They guarantee so far to go. But the thing is that I take care. But this car, you know, I said, well, I need a new car because this car is not going to last me to Michigan. The next time I go to Michigan, I will not trust. Yeah, it's getting old. And that engine probably fall in the middle of the highway. I don't know, but I said, we need a new car. It's been 10 years. So when I got this car, man, I didn't know. Not even a shifter, Brother Cabo. I saw push button, you know, parking and backwards and forward. I mean, and then it has, I'm going to turn and if the car is coming, my whole thing starts vibrating. Just because a car is coming, you know, and he thinks I'm going to go that way. And this AI anticipates a lot of stuff. You know, actually, I've been driving car for you since I was 14 years old. I don't need an AI to tell me when to turn and how to turn and when to stop. I'm stopping the light and the car in front of me takes off and ting, ting, the car left. I said, I know he left. I'm not stupid. I'm not blind. My wife, and I tell my wife, you know, I've been driving all these years, and I didn't need no AI to tell me to turn or when to turn or when to go or when to stop and when to cut in front of this other guy. I know I have enough room, but AI don't think I have enough room. You know, they have certain limitations. And it starts, it vibrates. I mean, at least it's a good massage to keep me awake. You know, I thought that's what it was to begin with, you know. Wow, that's enough vibrations. Warning. Anyway. Well, anyway. What did I get into that? I don't know. So the thing is that here Romans says, he said, we have to make a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So that is when we come to God and we want to worship God. We're going to have to make a sacrifice. Period. You know? So the first thing that we need to have is, of course, salvation. Justified. And the next thing we need is the Holy Spirit. We need Christ in us. Because that is the one that's going to take us all the way from there on. So I don't know. We cannot emphasize that. Because what we need is a change of heart. The change happened from inside out. Here in Ezekiel 11:19 says, and I will give them one heart. Not that mean that he's going to give everybody the same heart. But that heart will be the heart of God. One heart. It's not different hearts. Only one. And I will put in a new spirit. Not only a heart had to be changed. Before we start this journey, your heart has to be changed. Why? Because the way we are. And I put a new spirit within you. And that spirit is a small s. It's not capital. So that means that it's your spirit that is in you. Because the spirit is who you are. And who you are has to be changed. Because we got all kind of opinions, we got ideas, we got all kind of thoughts, you know, about everything. So that spirit, the real you is the spirit. That has to change. The way we look at things, the way we feel things. See? He said, a new spirit. So God will change not only your heart, but he will change your spirit. See, within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of what? Of flesh. So, in order for us to walk in God's ways and status and keep his ordinance, we have to be changed. Okay? In order for him to be our God, it has to be in his terms, not in our terms. And this is the requirement. We have to have a change of heart completely. We cannot keep holding to the world and to God. We need to make a sacrifice to decide who we are going to serve. And Ezekiel 36:26 says, a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. See? This is the process that starts this transformation. The transformation starts from the inside out, with your heart. The heart is the seat of the soul. So that got to be changed. Soul got to be changed. What is there before is no good. See? We need somebody else in that soul now in charge. That is the tower. You know, we need that soldier. We need God in our souls now. So he can command. He can start the transformation in our hearts. And the first thing is the spirit. Our ways of acting, who I am, has to be changed. Before I am still I am. I got a temper, yes. Not as bad as Brother Branham, but that has to be changed. And I don't know what your problem is, but all that in the natural has to be changed. We cannot be the same person that we were when we came to the Lord, it says. So the transformation starts with your heart change. See? Because the heart, you know, is the seat of your mind. And we don't want this mind. We want the mind of God. See? And that's the next thing that will happen. See? Ezekiel here is talking about a heart and a spirit. See? Referring to a whole self, a whole being has to be changed. Amen? So he said he will remove the heart of stone. See, people sometimes they are arrogant. Sometimes they are proud, stubborn, sometimes self-reliance. You know, that's how we was before. We hard-headed, hardened. You know, so God cannot work in a heart that way. You know, it is impossible for a seed to grow in a stony heart. Remember the parable of the sower? Some of the seeds fell where? On the stones? What happened? Well, you cannot get nothing out of a stone. I mean, I don't care you put a seed and you water it every day. That rock is not going to produce anything. So God wants to put the seed on us. So it can produce his life, reproduce his life, and bear fruits. But with a stony heart, you know what happened to a stony heart? You don't even let nothing in, and you don't let nothing out. So how are you going to come to church and open up to God when the heart is so hard that nothing goes in and out? So the first thing God had to do, you know, take that stony heart so you can at least can love yourself a little more, see, and take care. So that seed can go in that heart and start growing. Amen. It starts changing, transforming you. So he says, people are that way, and they are unable to respond, you know, to the call. Amen. Ezekiel 18:31 says, cast away from you all your transgressions. See? Whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die? See? Choose. Either we live or either we die. If you want to live, you have to change. You don't have to do it, but you have to be willing to open up and let God do his operation and change you. Sometimes, I don't know, I guess that is hard for Christians to do, to change. It's hard for anybody to change. I mean, the older I get, the more I'm getting set in my ways. You know, but I don't want my ways. I want his ways. Because I've already been changed. See? To satisfy and to sacrifice myself because he sacrificed himself for me. Give me a new heart. Give me a new spirit. You know, because the only thing that has to die in me is this flesh. And if something don't die, Jesus said, if the corn falls, the seed of corn falls in the ground and don't die, you know, if it don't rot out and die, it will not produce. It will not come up. We need to die to ourselves. First thing first. We have to have a change of heart. Okay? And God will do that. Once he changed our heart, then we can accept. We'll be receptive to God's word. Amen? Then we start conforming. It says here, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. See, the mind has to be changed. The heart is this, has to be changed. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God by testing. See, everything that happens into our life, all the things that we go through is a test. The whole life is a test to see what choices are we going to make. But if you got your mind made up before you get to those tests, you're going to make the right choice. Don't wait to make a choice. When you encounter a test, now what should I do? It's kind of late now. Your mind has to be made up that I will sacrifice myself, I will follow him. I don't care if I'm not popular at school. You know, I don't care if I'm the guy that everybody wants to be around. As long as he's around me, as long as he's in me, that's what I need. That's what I want. So transform before transformation, we cannot be conformed no longer to the world and the things of the world. See? So if God don't change our heart and change our spirit, we cannot receive the good seed. And that is the second part, the second process. See, over here says, conform, Romans 6:13. Do not present your members to sin. Do not present your members to sin as an instrument for unrighteousness. Once your life changed, your body's not yours. You've been bought with a price. So do never do anything against the will of God or the word of God. But present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, he says. And your members to good as instrument for righteousness. So wherever we do, if there has been a change in our life, whatever we do, it will please God. If you don't please God, we will run somewhere. Because everything that we do in our life, we want to be according to the will of God. It has to be that way, it has to be right. Do we have the means to do it? Yes. Can we do it? Yes. He is in us. He is the power that moves us, that directs us, that leads us. All we have to make is the choice to let Him, let go and let God do His work in our life. So we don't want to conform to the world and the things of the world. Amen. Give us a new heart, a new mind, the mind of Jesus, and a new will. We need a complete, what do you call that, a complete overhaul. I needed a complete overhaul. Amen. And if we're going to follow Him and we're going to do His will and we are going to be transformed until we are glorified, we're going to need an overhaul. Amen. 13, neither yield your members an instrument for righteousness, I read this, and to sin, but yield yourself. See? Surrender yourself. See? Yield yourself to Him. In every test that happens, in every situation, the first thing we need to do is just surrender ourselves. Lord, what do you want me to do here? I mean, I can find 10 ways that I can, but I don't want my way. I want you to tell me, how would I handle this situation? In whatever situation I find myself, I want to yield myself to God. That is walking. That is, you know, in His footsteps. Yes, I can find a million things that I could do, but I don't have no guarantee that they're going to work. See? So, instruments of righteousness. See? Because we have the indwelling power of God in us. Amen. Romans 7:5 says, for while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for what? For death. So we had to die to that, to the flesh. And this flesh has a lot of desires, I'm going to tell you. Yeah. It's our worst enemy. So we had to overcome ourselves to serve God, to be changed. Philippians 3:21 says, who shall change our vile bodies? These bodies are bodies of humiliation. We are weak, we are sick, every time we have this here and this there and this problem. This body is a humiliation. It's a vile body that is maybe fashioned like unto a glorious body, he says. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Subdue, overcome, or keep down, keep under your feet. See? Because this body, it will humiliate you. It will embarrass you. You know, you have to keep an eye on this guy. Because every chance you give him an inch, he's going to take more than an inch. See? This is what he says in the Amplified. Who, by exerting the power which enabled him even to subject everything to himself. See? We got that power. Mm-hmm. That he can enable himself in us to bring everything under subject. You don't have to. But him in you can bring all things into subjection. So, it's not impossible. Again, it's a choice. It says, will not only transform, but completely refashion our early bodies so that they will be like His glorious body, that resurrected body. The power is there to change. The question is, how much do you want it? How much do we desire a change? I'm tired of myself. I don't know about you. Living with this guy for too long. I am sick and tired of Eli. Eli, it has been just trouble to me. It has. You know, but this is not me. You know, I want a change. I don't care what it takes. I need a change. So a change of heart, change of mind, a change of spirit, and then conform to His word, and then win our way to continue being transformed. This is not a one-time thing. You're going to have to fight with yourself all the way to the... You're going to have to drag yourself that you don't like all the way there. But you have to keep it under subjection. See, that's what Paul said. Keep it down under your feet. No, I'm going to church. You gave me a hard time. Now you sit and shut up and wait till I'm done. Amen. I don't care if you like it or not. I do. This part of me likes it. Amen. Don't be nice to yourself. I mean, just be nice to yourself. Be rough with yourself. No. But sometimes, you know, that is the way it goes. Sometimes, you know, we prefer to be in some other place in better than church. But we have to, you know, be rough sometimes. I tell the family, it hurts me because the family wants to get together and I'm a family person. You know, I'm talking about my wife in here in Tucson. But they want to meet on Sundays because they don't go to church or they go to church. They got an option to go to church on Saturday night. La Misa de Gallo. I don't know what kind of gallo is that one, but it's a mass, you know, that they have on Saturday if you cannot make it on Sunday. Nice, huh? We should try to institute that. No. You know what they're doing? Just making your flesh comfortable. Right. Me, you cannot come to church. Me, don't worry about it. What do you want? Well, I can do Friday night, you know, whatever. Oh, I see. My schedule is clear on Friday night. See, that's making a way for the flesh. Sacrifice ourselves. Anyway, so it's important for a Christian, you know, that we understand this glorious thing that is in us, this mystery that is hidden in us, because that is going to change us if we yield to Him. See, we are being created in His own image. We are being changed to that image. That means that is not a one day, you know, or in one event time in the future. It just started right now. And how do I know that you are all for it and you desire that work? Well, you will reflect that. How much you know, how much is your revelation, that will be reflected to you. You cannot lie even to, if you wanted to, because sometimes even we think, you know, people don't see or don't understand. We know. And you know too. See, sometimes we want to kind of ignore things, but we should not never ignore anything. We should always follow the Holy Ghost. Listen, this is a race. You started a race. What are we going to do? Stop in the middle of the race and say, I don't want to go anymore. Wait a minute. Let me stop in the side here. And now we continue because they have this little, you know, place here that they're selling tacos and enchilada. Let me have some, then I continue. No, once you start the race, that's what Paul says. This is a race and not all of them will win. But do your best. Just get in the race and finish the race. You cannot stop in the middle of the race because you're going to lose. Once we commit ourselves, once we give our life to the Lord, the race has started. And there's no stopping. There's no going back. See? I'm going to make my best effort to stay in the race. Amen? It doesn't matter what it takes. Even if it's families, I have to sacrifice. Whatever I have to sacrifice, I will. Amen. What? For the price that is waiting for me. So, we talked about this morning that to let our light shine before men, say this, that they see your good work, see, and glorify our Father that is in heaven. So, as we travel in this journey, we want to do the work that God has purpose for our life so He can get glorified, so others can see, and they will glorify God. See? Our purpose is not to bring attention to ourselves. But everything that we do, let's do it in the name of the Lord. So He can get glory. I don't need any glory. I want His glory. But that means that you have to give the glory to Him so you can get it back. Because the people will see that and they will glorify the Father in heaven. So, let me see. Let me see what I got over here. Okay, give me about 10 more minutes. So, we're going to do some practical application. Engaging with this concept that we are talking about, glory. See? This is not a Sunday and a Wednesday thing. This is every day. Okay? Sometimes we come to church. Yeah, it's easy to do it in church because we're all in church and the Spirit is moving and we want a call. But, you know, this is not a one time or two time a week. This is throughout your entire life. I don't know if you're in church or not, but this transformation it's not going to happen just in church. Church is a part of it. But as you walk to work, to school, whatever you do throughout the week, you know, we have to always try to glorify the Lord in everything that we do. That's a conscious choice. That whatever I do, it makes sure we glorify, not only in church, but this is an everyday thing that we have to do. So we cannot say, well, you know, I went to church, I had a good time, and okay, until next time. No. Your walk with the Lord daily should be a main thing. I mean, it's not just a secondary thing. It should be always the first thing, always in our life. So we can bring glory to His name. Amen? In this spiritual journey that we're going, you know? So that is a practical application that is every day of our life. It's not just on Sundays and Wednesday. I told the young people, you know, we don't play church only on Sundays and Wednesdays, and then when we go out there, we do something. No. Church goes on the whole week. See? We have a fellowship with the Lord throughout the week. See? So people can see and glorify His name. Reflecting God also. Reflecting God glory daily in our life. Don't you want God to supply your daily bread? Okay, you have a faucet you don't need every day, right? But what about God having preeminence in your body, not only 2 days a week, but the whole week? Amen. In your work. We have to reflect God glory in every place that we go, in everything that we do. Amen. This is not just a one-time thing a week. This is a life that we have to live. It's a daily actions. It's not just, I'll be a Christian when I'm at church and we're not there, whatever. No, this is daily actions. See, to embody this glory of God. So, understanding these things that I have preached today, you know, it will help you to have a deeper connection with God. The closer you get to God, the stronger is the connection, and the stronger is the relation, and the change it happens. See? It is not that we have a connection here today with Him and tomorrow not. No, this is a connection that we have to foster every day. That's why we read our Bible, that's why we pray, that's why we meditate, you know, in what we hear every day of our life. See? So, not only when we come to church. Now, let me read you a few things. Because the further we go with God, the more we reflect His glory. Amen? And that depends on how deep the revelation. It should get better every day as we walk. And the revelation should get better. And as we walk with God, people will see His work, and we glorify Him. Now, let me read you what Brother Brown said here. Give me 5-10 minutes. God power to transform. And our text says, be not conformed, but be ye transformed. Not go in a and said, I will confirm Sundays. No. Go and be transformed right now. Transform from what you are to what God wants you to be. Amen. You cannot do it. But if you have the desire and you sacrifice and you give it all for him to do that, he will do the work in you. He will provide the chances, the places that he will change you. Amen? You don't have to, okay, how am I going to do this? No. Just let go. Let God says, transform you to what God wants you to be. Now, faith once delivered to the saints, and when that great body, we are not to be conformed with this world, but be transformed. The body of Christ is a new creature, and when the old thing is passed away and the world has went out of us and we became a new creature in Christ, our whole affection is on the things above. Everything that we do, that's to glorify God. Then we look to Christ. We look not at the things of the world. Now, power of transformation. That's what we all want to do. Is be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind to do the perfect and acceptable will of God. Now, that we have been saved, well, as we are, and that we have been filled with the Holy Ghost, as we have, now we want the mind that was in Christ. See, God in you, to be in us, that we might be transformed. Without what, we cannot get started. From the natural things of life, and be brought into the perfect will of God by transformation. The transformation started already. And the transformation ends in the day of the rapture. By then, you will be done. But you have a choice. You got to participate. God is not going to force you. You got to make. I got to make my mind that is what I want. It's not going to happen. We are partakers. We are co-workers with God. You need to do your part. God will do his part. We need to do our part. Amen. It says, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said the natural life. Okay, and power of transformation again. To be transformed is to be changed and made something different. And that's what God is doing. It's no longer Eli. It's what God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. He's working on me. He changed and made something different. Like a tadpole, see? He's transformed from a tadpole to a frog, see? Once he looked like a catfish. He swims around. He got head and his tail and everything looks just like a catfish. Then after a while, he being too loose, he loses the tail and he transformed from one species to another. I think that's what Paul must have had in his mind when he said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me get that right. And be not conformed. You know what conform is. Be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. The thing that you once thought upon to be precious, lay that aside. And be transformed to something else. What you was one time to what you are now. See? By the renewing of your mind. That your mind prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, that's what we all want to know, how to do it. That's what I'm here to tell you how to do it. We are here to love him. He saved us. Now we want to know what to do. And we are trying to take a little step this morning to rise up just a little bit higher. Something we have to hit things that, see, you just hold on for a few till we see what is come out to be. See, he was preaching. He says, you know, we're just giving you the things. We're dispensing the things that you need. God knows what you have need. So we just got to wait. Power transformation again. And don't let the devil spray you with education and poison and stuff like that. You have to be modern. You have to be this, you know. You don't have to be nothing but sons and daughters of God. And if you are born from the Word, you do. Notice the spray. If you take a seed, and a good seed, and you spray it, see, you will kill it. And when they spray the domination stuff over the top of you, it ruins the influence of the original Word. If they tell you, you have to do this, why? The other girls do it. But I'm not just cutting my hair, I'm just cutting the ends. He said, don't cut it.
Right.
That covered the whole thing, right? But the girl, look at how they dress. I mean, they put in their father, you know, the dresses are, you know, 2 inches above the knee. Oh, boy, you guys are so old-fashioned. Let me be old-fashioned and let me please God. See? He says, be conformed, said, the seed that is in you, see, be transformed, the seed that is in you. Don't you all find when you are talking, you women, the girls about wearing long hair, and they said, why you got to hair so long, see? Why do you wear your skirt down so long? You go to talking to them, they kind of give you the shoulder. Isn't that right? See, they know. Well, I don't know, I don't wear skirts, but you girls that wear skirts, you know what I'm talking about. Why don't you wear your skirt down long? Why? You go to talking to them, they kind of give you the shoulder. Isn't that right? See, they know what that's right. They know that that is right. He says, they cannot humble themselves to that. See? He says, that's what, see how Cain did? He couldn't humble himself to the vindicated word of God. He could not do it. And people, Bob Berman said, people that do that, they cannot humble themselves to the word of God. Oh, even Pentecostal say, glory to God, hallelujah. Cut my hair and I speak in tongues. That show right there, there's something wrong. See, the seed is bringing forward something different. A seed cannot, of God cannot bring forward a bob hair woman. It cannot do it, just cannot do it. Because the Bible says so. See, it cannot do it. No, sir. Now, it seems so hard to humble to God's word. Why so hard? If that is how this hard, is this the easy part to do? But sometimes when we are, the other girls are doing it. What's wrong with this? And what's wrong with that? And then we start spraying the word, you see, with ideas and thought. Let me make one more comment and I'm done. Just one more comment that I want to make that it came to my mind. Paul says, is any angel, any messenger come from heaven, I don't care, and he don't agree with what I preach, be an antichrist. This pulpit, we preach the word of God. Because if we don't preach the word of God, you will already be complaining. The problem that we have with the pulpit or with our pastor is not about the message. It's about preferences. Nobody can accuse this pulpit of, preaching something but the word of God. Because if he was, Brother Barnum said it. He said, if I make a mistake, you have the responsibility to come to me, put your big boy's pants, don't go out there trying to get alliances with people, trying to get people enough so they can go up to you. No, put your big boy pants, go on and talk to the pastor. Say, Pastor, I don't understand. Don't try to go out there to change him. You know, tell him what to do, because you don't have the right to tell the pulpit what to do. Just go out there and say, I don't understand this. This is what I got. I wonder if I'm wrong. Maybe I don't see what you're talking about. Can you explain this to me? And he will explain it to you. We don't going to go out there with an attitude to change anybody. We do it in meekness, you know. We humble ourselves. But what I'm trying to say is, as far as I know, I've been here years. This book is right. So, if any thought, here we go, if any thought comes from outside this pulpit, then which one are you going to take? Even if you have a thought concerning anything that do not match the thought that is preaching it, who is right? I'm going to tell you right now, that's the easy answer. That's not God's message. Because Paul says, if you are preaching the same message and you are preaching the same word, you need to, you know, realize that that is what I preach here too. Amen. If we find animosity, usually when we find animosity in the pulpits and in the congregation, it's because a word. This is what I think about this situation. This is what we should do. The pulpit already tell you what and how to do things. So who is right? I take the pulpit, 100%. Because God has put this minister, the dog put it here, and he put him here to watch over your soul. You don't watch over anybody's soul. You can't even watch over your soul. He is why? By giving you the right food in due season. So if any thought arises that goes against what is preached in this pulpit, that's an antichrist song. That's what I wanted to say, and I leave it there. Amen. I'm sorry to have to finish in this note. We can actually save ourselves a lot of trouble. Amen. A lot of trouble sometimes in the way we handle things. So, God is the one that justifies. God is the one that saves. Amen. And as far as I know, the years that I've been in this church, I had no trouble with the Word of God. The only trouble I have that I don't do it. We should do it. Everything that comes from this pulpit, it is the Word of God. Because if it wasn't, I would hear already about it. Anybody has any complaint? No. Are you happy? I'm not saying that the other churches are not. I never said that. You just thought that, not me. So don't put words in my mouth. I mean, people that go to other churches, if they don't feel that way, they should not be in that church. I mean, if your thought is against the thought that comes from this pulpit, that is where the Word of God comes out, who is wrong? Well, I'm going to have to take the pulpit thought. Because the pulpit thought, it comes from the mind of God, from through the mouth of the pastor. And we have not, in the years that I've been here, you know, I'm not blind. Don't tell me that I have favoritism. The only favoritism I got is for God. That's it. But I am so glad. Listen, I want to finish with this. God is the God of second chances. And some of you came here looking for a second chance. Because what they dealt to you before wasn't. You want to say, now if God gave you a second chance, now we're going to revert to what you got. And I'll say, but this is the way we do it over here. Do you want a second chance? Or you just, what do you want? I don't understand. You left something because you needed to. And God gave you a second chance and put you over under a ministry. You know? So what are we going to do now? Revert back to what we had? But this is not the way we did it in the other church. But go back to the other church. If that's how you like things done, then you're in the wrong place. But I believe that you came over here because you was looking for a second, and God gave you a second chance to come to a church that you are able to be fed, that you can bring your family, and that you can live Christian life, and you can experience God in your life the way it is supposed to be. And that's why you are here. So I'm saying, if there's something wrong then our responsibility is to sit down and say, talk to the pastor and say, hey, can you explain this to me? I don't understand. Really, I don't. I thought that this is supposed to be this way. He will straighten you out. The word will straighten you out. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Amen. We can stand. I took an extra 10 minutes. That was in my heart, and I didn't want to say anything, but this, the Lord just put it in my heart, so there you go. Amen. And anyway, I prefer for you to get mad at me to get mad at Brother Doug. Okay? Because it won't make any difference to me. What you think about it. I know what I already think about it. So, listen. We're trying to help each other. We all want to make it. Let's help each other to make it, not to destroy. Let's build. Let's build unity, not destroy unity. We are here to help each other to make it. We don't need to be pushing anybody down.
No. Amen.
Amen. I thank God for you guys, and I thank God for this church, and I thank God for all the things throughout this year. I got a family. They're all serving the Lord, and they're all full of the Holy Ghost. My grandchildren, at least half of them already baptized to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. But that is, see, that is what happens when you make your mind and put God first. And this church is a church that will support you, that will help you to grow and to move forward with the Lord until that day happens. Amen. So I wanted to say that, and I said it, so I'm done. I am so glad, you know, of you guys too, of the family of God in this church, this local church. I love you guys, and I always pray for the best for you guys. But we need to move forward. We need to let things behind. Okay? Let's move forward together. You know, in one accord, in one thought, in one mind. And let us reach the goal. I'm praying that the rapture happen while we all in flesh, so we can all see the change and we can all just, whoa, here goes everything, you know, let's go. You know? That will be an awesome day, huh? An awesome day. But I don't have to work anymore. No, I don't work. I'm going to put a sign, gone on vacation. How long? Eternity.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, my heart is open.